This podcast replay is brought to you by KSDT CPA, one of South Florida's largest and one of the country's fastest growing accounting firms. KSDT CPA is a full service firm that also excels in crypto. Visit them at KSDTCPA.com or call 305-670-3370.
All right. You know, Cam.
What's up with you, man?
Oh, man, just loving life. And, you know, looking at the current Heat team and what's going on, I kind of feel in a way our Dolphin fans kind of felt the same thing. And two different scenarios when we're talking about the franchises overall and all that. I'm not talking about any of that. But I'm talking about what's going on currently right now with the Celtics and what happened with the Dolphins towards the end of the season. And what happens sometimes, Cam, is that fans are short for fanatical. They're unreasonable. They're not logical. So they bring this crazy-ass emotion to the table, right? And so last year, we have Dolphin fans that are kind of pissed about how, you know, they lost and all of that. But in the end, if you look at it, with all the injuries, for them to still get into the playoffs, for them to still take the Bills to the brink, that really a mental gaffe by the coach maybe that's what cost you to advance, because if you get that fourth and one in, I'm feeling pretty good about maybe a score there and you might win the game the way they were playing, because, you know, Mo was on their side. And so in the end, if you're bitter about the Dolphins, I think you've got a fanatical point of view, whereas I think you should feel great about the Dolphins, because if they were healthy, they would have had a much better season. And hell, they played the Bills like they had never played them over the last couple of years in those three games. So I think anybody that overreacts there gets a little fanatical. Let's swing over to what happened last night. If I tell you, Cam, they just traded for Jimmy Butler. They signed Jimmy Butler, whatever the hell. Hey, Cam, for the next 4 years, I know you're a Sixers fan, but you're a Heat fan for the moment. And I lean over to you and say, bro, you just got Jimmy Butler. Guess what? For the next 4 years, you're going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals 3 out of 4 times. And you may make it to the NBA Finals 2 out of 4 years just by acquiring Jimmy Butler. And and you're going to go, no other star? Bro, you're an idiot. Shut the hell up, bro. Get out of my face. And so you can get fanatical. You can get pissed off about how the Celtics are playing right now. But it's like what Barkley said last night. If the Celtics are playing at their best and the Heat are playing at their best, the Celtics are supposed to win every time, pretty much. Let's be honest. And so while it sucks what happened last night, big picture, brother, Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler have overachieved for 4 years. You have enjoyed one hell of a ride that no one ever thought we would be on for 4 years. Yay or nay?
Yeah. I mean, you're talking to a guy whose team, Sixers, underachieves rather than overachieves.
That's
so
right.
I would certainly take the opposite. I mean, we got to call it what it is.
That's a great point, by the way.
I think that
great
that
perspective.
The Heat do a great job of maximizing their roster, their talent. And I had this conversation with a buddy of mine who's a huge Heat fan. His name's John. He's a huge Heat fan out here. And he essentially mentioned to me after they lost game 4 that he was okay if the season did not, you know, he didn't want to speak it into existence, but if it did not go the way the Heat wanted it to go, for whatever reason, they had a collapse.
Right.
He said it would not like be this life altering thing that people were portraying it to be because of what you just said. They were not supposed to be here.
Right.
They feel like they overachieved. And I don't know if I could feel that way as a fan, because once you get there,
right,
I feel like you gotta, like, you're still gonna be hurt.
It's right there.
But he has the perspective, given they've been winners for a long period of time, that look, I give them some slack if for whatever reason the better team, quote unquote, on talent, got on this amazing run and ran 4 straight against them, more than I would the Dolphins or another team who hasn't earned that
exactly.
Slack. So I thought that was an interesting perspective. I'm curious your thoughts. I'm curious the audience thoughts, because I didn't feel that way. I'm telling you, I would still be just as hurt, but I understand the perspective.
Yeah, I said that last night in the postgame show. That's exactly how I feel, that these 4 years have been phenomenal. No matter how this ends, it'll suck if they lose here the next two games. Or if they advance, I know deep down inside they're going to get their asses kicked by Denver, bro. Unless there's like a Jokic injury or, you know, or Jamal Murray just like finds a crack pipe and just chooses to never, you know. No, I'm serious. I don't know how the Heat beat Denver, to be quite honest, my man. I don't know.
Same way they beat Milwaukee.
Nah, Giannis got injured. Giannis got injured and opened the door. Giannis got injured and opened the door for them. That was different.
What's been Boston's excuse for the first?
No, three games? Well, Boston is just, that's a young coach. That team's kind of an underachiever at times. They're kind of erratic. Like I said before, if Spo is coaching the Celtics, the Heat are already eliminated, bro. That's all.
That's probably fair. That's probably fair, bro.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is, bro. He beats other people with less.
Right.
I mean, bro, 5 years ago with those scrubs, he went 31-10 and beat the Warriors in their heyday. He beat them twice.
Right.
He beat them with Deion Waiters and James Johnson and Whiteside. He beat the Warriors twice in the second half of the season, dude.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, that's just stupid. This guy's a great coach, man. He's just...
Spo's a great coach. Spo is an absolutely great coach.
God, he is a great coach.
I think last episode, I do wonder what the value is of NBA coach if we overvalue that sometimes.
No way.
We see a lot of these coaches getting fired just because their team didn't advance. To me, it's still a players' league, the NBA maybe more than any other league. But I will say there is a difference with the elite coaches, and I think Spo is one of the elite coaches.
Hell yeah.
I think Spo, I think Greg Popovich... Probably those two to me are at the top. And then everybody else, you know, they're somewhere between really good to bad, but it doesn't, to me, the difference between a really good and a average coach isn't a playoff series for the most part. Like to me, I'll just say from the Sixers perspective, because I'm a Sixers fan, they got rid of Doc Rivers. I don't know that the difference between Doc Rivers and another non-Spo or non-Popovich coach helps them go to the NBA Finals this year with the roster as constructed.
Right.
You know, I don't think there's that difference. Where some fans may think, oh, we fired a coach, we run it back, and we're good. That's not just the way I think, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, yeah. Or you're just hoping the fresh voice is something that reaches, you know, people and that kind of stuff. Who knows? All right. Yeah. By the way, it looks like Jalen Phillips took all your workout tips to heart. That was...
Oh. Jalen Phillips doesn't need my workout. He already evinced the workout. Like,
I mean,
I'm trying to listen to his tips. So,
I don't know, bro. That's what I heard. He said, I want to look like Cam Wolf. And and he looks like a wolf man that's going to be coming around the corner now in the NFL.
Hey, I appreciate it. I do not look like Jalen Phillips. I may have a little bit of the chest size because I have a nice size chest and shoulders. But when you start going to the abs, I don't have that six pack.
No.
I promise you that. I drink too much. I eat too much.
Shit, that looked like a 12 pack. That looked like a 12 pack right there.
Yeah. I've given up my dreams of a 6, 8, 10, 12 pack for pretty much the rest of my life.
Ah, see, you got to be like me and Sean. We work on kegs. We have no. There's no six pack here. We're keg guys, okay? Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Cam, I'm in the best shape of my life. Round.
Hey, that's it.
Hey, that's it. That's all you need.
That's all you need.
Maybe one day I'll get to a four pack. That's probably the peak of my existence. But now I've got a kid. I live out. I probably will just accept whatever my abs do from here on out.
All right, so what impressed Cam Wolf the most this week, outside, of course, of Jalen Phillips taking your workout tips and getting in incredible shape?
Yeah, we only saw one day of practice. We'll see another one next week. But from the day we saw, you know, I try not to make too much of OTAs.
Of course.
I think the defensive front did have a good start. You know,
a couple offensive linemen are missing in Teron Armstead and Connor Williams, but those dudes, you know, wreaked havoc. I think Christian Wilkins is going to have an even better year than last year. I know you guys had conversations with Omar about this, but I think he's absolutely worthy of a contract extension, and I think that he's going to get $20+ million a year.
You're not going to get an argument out of me how valuable Christian Wilkins is to this team, or Zach Sealer, by the way. Yeah. Right. Because I think Zach Sealer might be the guy that Fangio loves most by the end of the year than Raekwon Davis. Because, you know, I talked about this. I did a little piece on Raekwon where, you know, Raekwon's creating a real problem. Because, and you've been in the league long enough to have watched this scenario. The guy that's underachieved in his first contract and then stars in his final season and then... Yeah. The coaches in the front office have to sit there and go, did this guy just play for a contract or did he really turn the corner? And then you don't know what the hell to do at that point. And I think that's going to be a really difficult decision for this team if Raekwon somehow comes up with the season that we've all kind of been waiting for, because we know that he's got the ability and he has flashed. That's the thing that Raekwon's done. He's flashed. But he hasn't really starred. He hasn't really dominated. He hasn't really shown you a consistency of being a disruptor. And so that's kind of one of those things that you kind of scratch your head and say, do we pay him? So it's going to be a really interesting thing. What happens with Raekwon Davis and how he plays? See, because Zach Sealer does it every year. Since he got here, he's always been productive and he's always making plays. It's not something we can say about Raekwon Davis.
Yeah, Zach Sealer, one of the more underrated players in this league, not even on the Dolphins. Like,
amen.
In this league.
Amen.
And so those two guys, I think, you know, you can't say enough about the impact Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer have on their defense, even if it doesn't show up on the stat sheet. And this is the thing that I had to learn when I started to cover football. That's maybe different from a fan perspective. A lot of times we get obsessed with the numbers.
Right.
Say, okay, well, Christian Wilkins doesn't have 10 plus sacks, so why should you pay him this much money? Zach Sealer doesn't show up in these stat sheets, so he's not that valuable.
Right.
No, there are players who have 2 sacks on the season who are more valuable than players who have 9 sacks on the season based on how teams game plan against them, the impact they make. And so I think those two guys are a huge part of their defense. They're why their run defense was good last year, even though they didn't have great linebacker play overall. And it's also a big part of why I think this defense can be a top 10 unit with Vic Fangio going forward. So defensive front is one thing. I told you last episode, Devon Achane definitely is flash.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that his veteran teammates are already raving about him, saying, hey, he's a guy to watch, which tells me he's earned their respect even when we aren't watching. You know, it's not just when he's making his flashes. It's what he's doing in the film room and what they see how he's chewing up the offense. So he could certainly have an impact on this offense sooner than later. You know, it's funny because I always talk about things from a national perspective. I don't know that any of these Miami running backs are going to be the guy you want to draft on your fantasy team, because it's going to be a 2-3-headed back.
Yeah, carousel. Yeah, yeah.
But it's going to be better for Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have a variety of weapons. They have 3 different guys who may not be the biggest guys, but with 3 of them, you have less worry about, oh, what if one gets nicked and has to miss a game or so.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I like the and we're done with the bell cow thing. That's just the Derrick Henry thing. He's one of the last of the freaks. They don't want that anymore in the league, because also it creates salary issues too, because then you're going to have to pay them so much money, and because it's such a contact position, it's a position that it's rare to stay even healthy in. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of politics that goes with that position now, and it's kind of changed the way it's being viewed and being used, in other words. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I don't know if we ever will have a – maybe I won't say ever, because the NFL goes in cycles. But I think our current cycle, I don't think we'll have another rusher who rushes for 2,000 yards. Like we saw Derrick Henry do. I just don't think that that's going to be a feasible stat line given how the game has moved, one towards a passing offense and two towards a 2-3 back set for most of these teams, and how they devalued the position where having a guy who's getting paid $15, $18, $20 million is abnormal. You know, Christian McCaffrey, I believe, is the highest paid running back, but he's also an elite receiver.
He's
had seasons where he's had 1,000 yards receiving, and as well with 1,000 yards rushing. And so I think you need to be that style of back for you to get drafted high, for you to get paid in this new NFL.
Cap for Life is, and thank you for the super chat, Cap for Life. He says, Cam, is it true? I didn't know anything about this. I don't even know if this is true either. Says, is it true that we've been pronouncing Jalen Waddle's last name wrong, that it's pronounced Waddell? His sisters say Waddle is his stage name. Can you confirm or deny? Is there any truth to that?
This is a great question, Cat for Life, and I actually have the answer for you.
Okay.
Because I asked Jalen Waddle this last year when we were doing our NFL Network feature that I did with Waddle and Rocco, the patient who had cancer, leukemia, who Waddle has befriended. And Waddle, because I actually saw a clip, a video documentary clip where his sisters were explaining the same. Jalen's last name is Waddell. It's not Waddle. It's Waddell. But Jalen says he goes by Waddle. He says that is his original name, but he says he goes by Waddle. Everybody calls him Waddle. And so I asked him, do you want me to call you Waddell? And he's like, no, call me Jalen Waddle. That's, you know, so it is true. His original last name is pronounced Waddell, but he prefers Waddle. I don't know if he prefers it because everybody calls him that.
It just makes it easy. Can I explain something to you?
Yeah.
Okay. My name is Alzugary, right? Everybody says Alzugary. It's really not Alzugary. It's Alzugary.
Mm.
Because there's an A in there. Okay, it's Alzugary. But I Americanized it because since I was a kid, everybody was butchering it. Right. So then I just told everybody Al as in Al, Zoo as in animals, and Gary as in Gary, Indiana. And everybody, Alzugary. Oh, okay, great. Yeah, no problem. So I kind of Americanized my last name, and I just made it easier for people to say Alzugary than Alzugary, and it's like, you know, and it's just a pain in the ass. So I don't give a shit either. Like Waddle, he doesn't give a shit, because if you look at his name, it's pronounced Waddle. That's what it looks like to us.
It looks like Waddle.
Right? It looks to us like Waddle, but I see it. It's Sertain. You know, we were calling him Sertain, and then no, it's Sertain. Oh, okay. Right. Okay. Like 6 years in, 7 years into his career, he tells his
son. And some guys just don't care or don't want the confrontation to even correct someone.
Exactly.
And so that's why I wanted to ask Waddle, because I guarantee you, if he would have told me, no, call me Waddell, you would have heard me on TV all of a sudden calling this dude, because I care what people want to be called. But the fact that he told me, no, I want to be called Waddle, I'm like, okay. But it did add context to me that, hey, that is the original pronunciation of his name.
I can relate to it. It's just something like, it's not important to me. Now, there are some people that are really touchy about it and all that. And, you know, I remember we used to, what was it, 90210. Andrea was one of the girls that was on the, and she, no, it's Andrea. You know, it's just one of those things, like, you know, give me a break, whatever, bro. Yeah. You know, and to me, like, I don't give a shit. It's just, you know what? It's easier for everybody. Alzugary, go ahead, bro. Rock it out, bro. Alzugary, go ahead. I don't give a shit. And now they just call me Big O instead. So, you know, make it even easier. So I can relate to Waddle's thing. It's just, you get tired of correcting people. You just do it. You know what I mean?
So absolutely. And I don't necessarily have that issue, but sometimes I get the wolfy because people want to pronounce the E if they're trying to say it. And I'm like, no, just the animal. Forget the E. It's just the straight animal. So I don't get it as much as you. And I don't have the pronunciation issue that Waddle has. But I do understand where, you know, people will see it and they'll try to sound it out. Same thing with Tua's last name. People butcher his name.
Tagovailoa, yeah.
Yeah, they try to say it how it looks. Sometimes it doesn't,
you know, it's not how it looks. Just ask me and you'll get it.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, and the part about all that is we don't know who's the person that just doesn't give a shit like me and Waddle, or the person that's really touchy and they kind of, you know,
absolutely. Absolutely.
You got to respect that.
You got to practice it. Like, I've practiced dude's name, like Salvin Ahmed, right?
Right.
That's one where it looks like Ahmed.
Right.
But you ask him, he tells you the pronunciation. I know I've had to tell people on our air who've talked about the backfield and they're like, Salvin Ahmed. I'm like, Ahmed. You know, right. I don't want to be the guy to always like correct you, but it's important for you to get guys' names right.
Yeah, man.
You
know that? Yeah.
You never know. This is somebody's parents watching this and they want their last name said correctly. So.
Any concerns so far from the first couple of days?
Nah, it's May. It's May. I'm not worried about anything. I mean, other than the issues that I already was worried about before I saw the team, which would be the offensive line, some of the inside linebacker depth, and then obviously if Tua doesn't get hurt, what that means. If Tua doesn't stay healthy, what that means for the team.
Were you also unimpressed with Mike White's arm like Omar and Poop are not are unimpressed?
Yeah, there's a significant difference watching Tua versus Mike White and Skylar Thompson. So, no, I wasn't impressed with either of the backup quarterbacks. Mike White didn't do anything to move the needle. But it's also May, and it's one practice, so I don't want to overreact.
Right. Okay. All right. What do you got going on in the NFL Network this week? End.
Nothing much, man. I am. I just did TV last night, and so today is Friday. I'm going to enjoy the holiday weekend. It just started to rain, which is a bummer because I'm supposed to go out and golf in like an hour and a half. So that's about it, man. Enjoy the holiday weekend, and next week back out here for OTAs.
Go to Top. Hey, go later on when it calms down. Go to Top Golf and have some fun, bro. You know,
yeah, I like Top Golf, but I'm usually a regular golf. Like I like to be out in the course.
And I got you.
My hope is this is just a South Florida rain where it rains for 10-15 minutes pretty hard, and then we're good to go because we're gonna go.
Guys like you and Jalen Phillips want to get workouts in, so you go on the course. We get it.
That's an easy way for me to lose a pound or two and get an extra pack. So I go from one pack to two pack.
Do you do 50 push-ups in between each hole and all kinds of sit-ups? Is that what you and Jalen Phillips do all the time? That's why you guys look like the way you look?
No. Whatever Jalen's doing, I am not doing. So I need to work on it because he looks different than I do. Like I said, maybe we have similar. I don't even know if it's similar. Maybe we both have good shoulders and chest. But when it starts coming down to the abs and all the other body parts,
you put him to shame. You put him to shame. I got you, Mr. Keg. You got something for him?
Yeah, Cam. You're never gonna look like us if you keep doing this golfing, man.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're out there walking, buddy.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Top Golf. Right? You're gonna order onion rings, chicken wings, beer, and you play.
So I'm a balance. I do all of those things you say, and then I do the activities, which is why I stay in the middle. I don't fully lose it, but I never become Jalen Phillips.
See, you got to be like Sean and me. One hand with a wing, the other hand with the club.
Go big or go home.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's the real workout. Follow him on Twitter at Cameron Wolf. Cam, have a great weekend, my man. We'll catch up next week.
All right, you too.
Thank you. There you go. Cameron Wolf, the Wolf Pack has been unleashed.